The scripture reading for this morning comes from Philippians 1, verses 12 through 18. You can follow along in page 921 in the Bibles in front of you, or page 9 of our worship guide. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. This is the word of the Lord. It is absolutely true and given to us in love.
Thanks, Abby. All right. Well, last week we started our journey together through this book of Philippians, and as we dig deeper into it today, here's the big idea, all right? Stuck isn't stopped. You know, sometimes the things we're facing, even the hard and confusing stuff, is actually what God's using to move the gospel forward. You know, there's this great story in the Netflix show Losers about the 1987 Torquay United soccer team. They were in the lowest professional division in the English soccer league system, and they were terrible. In fact, they were so bad that they had to tie their last game of the season to not get dropped from the professional leagues down into the semi-pro leagues, which when that happened to a team, I mean, they'd usually go bankrupt, shut down. I mean, it was game over at that point. And so they're in the last game of their season. They got a tie. Time's winding down. They're losing by a goal, one goal. Their best player, Jim McNichol, slides to try to get this loose pass over on the sideline, misses the ball, and a police German Shepherd attacks him, bites him in the leg. I mean, it's bad. He's bleeding. He has to get 17 stitches. And at this point, everybody in the stadium is thinking like, this is it. This is it. We're done. But the dog bite meant that they had to add on 4 minutes of injury time at the end of the game. And so in the final seconds, Torquay smashed the ball into the goal. They tie the game, save the club. The place goes crazy. The dog bite, the thing that looked in the moment like a complete disaster. It was actually the tether they needed into extra time to survive. You know, it's a fun story, but if you're like me, when you hear that, your skepticism alarm starts going off pretty good. Because life isn't always like a Netflix show, is it? You know, a lot of times when we get bit, it doesn't like magically turn into the miracle goal that we were looking for. It just feels like a heavy chain weighing us down. We feel confused, stuck, pulled backwards. Well, the Apostle Paul, he knows that feeling. Yeah, he's writing this letter at this point right now during a real dip in his life. He's been falsely accused, thrown in prison. He's got no money, no family. And right now, no idea if he's going to make it out or get executed. All day long, he's literally short-chained to a Roman guard. The guard moves, Paul moves. He's absolutely stuck. You know, if you were here for Easter, we talked about how life with Jesus, it's a lot of times it's shaped like the letter J. We go down and then we get brought up. Well, if that's true, then right now, Paul, he's somewhere like way down there in the bottom. He's a traveling church planner who's now chained up in jail. I mean, from the outside, it looks like the gospel's been stopped. And you know, I think we know what that dip feels like, don't we? I mean, we're not in a Roman prison, but we know what it's like to feel tied down with anxiety or stuck in a marriage that's running on empty or chained to a mistake that we can't outrun. We know what it's like to suffer and wonder, how could God work through me right now? With what I'm facing, with what's happened to me, how could the gospel still go forward? Well, guys, Paul, this morning, he's going to open up a different door for us. You know, what if the places where you feel sidelined, places where you feel chained, are actually where God's doing his most important work? Not just in you, but through you. What if God isn't just watching our suffering, but he's actually moving his grace forward through it? I mean, what would it look like when you're at the bottom of that dip right there to be able to say, God, this is so hard, but I trust you. I'm not talking about a fake smile or acting like the chains don't hurt, but in the hardship, the difficulties, the things that don't make sense, trusting God is still working, moving the gospel forward through us. Well, I'm still learning that trust myself. But when we look at Paul, we see here in this passage, he wasn't just tied to a guard, he was tethered to someone else who made all the difference. And when we see that, it makes all the difference for us too. So last summer, a group from Hope Chapel went on a missions trip down to Costa Rica. Imagine, all right, we're there right now, a group of us, and you get this email from me. Church, please pray for me. Some people here didn't like that we were talking about Jesus. So they lied to the police and they got me arrested. I'm in jail and I don't know when I'm getting out. There's a guard watching me all the time. They won't take my handcuffs off. The blisters on my wrist are turning to open sores. I miss you guys. But most of all, I'm just discouraged. We were supposed to be building a church, but now I'm stuck in here. I know God's in control, but I don't understand any of this. I can't stop thinking about all the work we're missing while I sit here. Please pray. I get out so we can get back to what we came here for. Now, if you got that email, you'd probably think, I totally get it. That all makes sense, right? No one would judge me for that email. In fact, the book of Psalms is filled of honest prayers like that. But hold that in your mind for a second, and now compare it with what Paul says in verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. I mean, we hear that, and it kind of feels like, is Paul just this out-of-touch optimist? Like, is he a robot? Has he watched that Netflix episode one too many times? Well, actually, Paul's incredibly realistic about his pain here. He doesn't numb out. He's aware of what's happened to him. You know, twice in the Greek, Paul says he's in chains. All day long, he's short-chained to a Roman guard. It was embarrassing. And he knows that there's rivals out there trying to kick him while he's down. Guys who are supposed to be teammates are taking advantage of Paul being in prison to try to make him look bad. Paul knows what's happening to him is wrong. It's evil. and it hurt. Now, he never thinks suffering is something that we should just be okay with. You know, in the book of Acts, when Paul goes to a city and the religious leaders there beat him up, he's not sticking around to see what round two's like. He's like, you all are mean. I'm taking my ball and going somewhere else. But even while Paul's realistic about the pain, he's hopeful about the progress. You know, despite how it might look, Paul's stuck, but God's not stopped. The gospel's still moving forward. Paul sees the gospel moving forward into unlikely places. I mean, he's literally stuck to a Roman soldier, right? A servant of Caesar. Every probably 6 hours, a new one would rotate in. So Paul starts talking to them. He tells them why he's there. He tells them about Jesus. And after a while, Paul says in verse 13, all the guards know his story. And some of them even believe in Jesus. In fact, if we were to flip forward, Paul closes this letter saying, all the saints greet you, especially those from Caesar's household. The gospel is in Caesar's house. I mean, think about it. Paul couldn't have been like, dear supporters, I'm going to start a small group Bible study in Caesar's house. It doesn't work that way. He's not getting in any other way. But the guards, they hear the gospel. They take it back to the palace, and now God's planted his grace in the center of the Roman government. And Paul sees other believers getting more bold. It says in verse 14 that as people heard about his imprisonment, they want to talk about Jesus even more. I mean, that's the opposite of what should happen. Usually when you take out the leader, everyone else around them gets spooked. They're out of there. But Paul's weakness, his weakness is actually making them strong. He even sees the gospel going forward through bad motives. Other guys are out there preaching the gospel really just to try to kick Paul when he's down. And yet somehow Paul can say, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. I mean, Paul, he's down at the bottom of that J. He's in chains. It hurts. But all of that didn't stop the gospel moving forward. And God's doing that same work through us today. Now, I know there is a lot of suffering in this room this morning. Things that hurt, things that don't make sense, things that it's right to pray, God, please take this away. But Paul's showing us that even in those places where you feel stuck, God hasn't hit the pause button on your life. He hasn't pushed you to the side so he can focus on the people who've really got potential. He's not waiting for your chains to come off before he starts using you again. In the places where we're weak, where we feel small, God can move the gospel forward through situations we never would have chosen for ourselves. You know, maybe it's a diagnosis that sidelined you. You're unable to do all the things that you used to do. Or it's a career that's hit a roadblock and you're still trying to find a new job. Or caring for a parent who doesn't remember your name. Staying home to raise toddlers who scream at you. Or a mental health struggle that just won't lift. Whatever your chain is today, it doesn't mean God's stopped working through you. Even in that hard, confusing place, he can still move the gospel forward through you. But if that's all true, why is it so hard to see that? You know, why does it feel like I'm failing every time I find myself down in that dip? Well, I think it's because when we're stuck, you know, when we're suffering, we can start telling ourselves stories. I know I can. And these stories, they can start to become chains. See if you recognize maybe any of these. We can tell ourselves, I'm going backwards. You know, everyone else is crushing it right now, but I'm just surviving. We open up Instagram, see the highlight reel of everyone else's life, and we look at it and we think, well, you know, they're going this way and I'm going this way. Their life looks better, I mean, at least than mine. God, how could you use me right now? Or we can tell ourselves, I made a mistake. Now, I know a lot of us are making big life decisions right now, careers, schools, relationships. And maybe we make a decision that didn't work out like we were expecting. It's hard to not look back on that and think, I brought this on myself. I took a wrong turn. I'm the reason why I'm stuck. What could God possibly make out of this? Or maybe we tell ourselves, I don't deserve this. I've done my part. I've been honest at work, a present parent, faithful to my spouse. I mean, after all I do for God, the ways I serve him that nobody else even sees or notices, but now I'm down in this place that feels so hurtful and so confusing. God, this wasn't the deal. This wasn't how you were supposed to use my life. And maybe you can find yourself in one of those stories. I can tell myself all three of them. And they're all saying the same thing. Stuck means stopped. In our chains, small ones, the big ones, God can't move the gospel forward through us anymore. And when we listen to those stories, we start looking at our chains in a different lens. I know, at least in my life, I end up realizing that I lose my curiosity. I stop looking for what God might be doing right now through me and start just focusing on how can I get back to the way things were. Or I can get bitter. I start thinking, well, you know, God, he only works through people who have it all together. He's moved on from me right now. It's heavy. But what's underneath all of that? What's the lie that needs grace? I think it's the subtle belief that our suffering has placed us outside the arms of our Father. This hardship, this difficulty that doesn't make sense, it's separated me from the heart of God. You know, we think he only gets involved with people whose lives are looking better than mine. He'll use them, but he won't use me. And so when we're honest about all of that and we read Paul's words here in this passage, if you're like me, we wonder, Paul, how do you do it? How are you not bitter? How are you not crushed? What's your secret? You know, are you just some super Christian that the rest of us aren't? Well, what's his secret? Well, Paul tells us in verse 13, he knows something that changes everything. And it's not just having more willpower. He says in verse 13, my imprisonment is in Christ. You know, our Bibles translate it, his imprisonment for Christ, like he's someone fighting for a cause. But in the Greek Paul was writing in, he literally says he's in chains in Christ. That little phrase, in Christ, shows up 20 times in this letter. It's all about connection. Paul's saying, I'm in prison. I'm chained to this guard here. But what's even truer about me is that I'm inseparably tethered to Christ. You know, it's kind of like this. In mountain climbing, there's this technique called short roping. When you're on really dangerous terrain, a guide will tie themselves to the climber they're leading with just a few feet of rope. You see, the guide, they know the mountain. They've climbed it before. They've hit all the dangerous spots already. And so to keep the climber safe, they literally tether themselves to them. They're connected. They're united. Where the guide goes, the climber goes. And where the climber goes, the guide goes. Paul's saying, while he might be chained to this Roman guard, he's even more short-roped to the risen Jesus. He's in chains in Christ. He's tethered to the one who's perfectly lived out this story before him. You see, Jesus knows exactly what it's like to face things that don't make sense, that aren't right, that are evil. You know, just like Paul, Christ was falsely accused, held against his will, and put on trial. Only unlike Paul, Christ didn't make it out alive. On the cross, Jesus, he took on the ultimate chains. He, the truly innocent one, was imprisoned by death itself. He went all the way down to the bottom of the J, suffering in our place, not just for what's been done to us, but also for what's been done by us. And there, hanging on the cross as Jesus breathed his last breath, it looked like the mission had failed. The game's over. Christ wasn't just stuck, he was stopped. But God used the deepest dip in history to send the gospel forward. On the cross, God took the worst evil and turned it into our greatest good, your good, my good, our city's good. God used the chains of a Roman cross to move his plans of grace forward. And Paul's saying here, sitting in this jail, I'm united. I'm short-roped right now to that Savior. I was the furthest person from ever deserving it, but the risen Christ, by grace, he tied himself to me. This is how Paul can say, through my weakness, the gospel right now is going forward to Roman guards, to Caesar's house, to other believers. I mean, we look at that and we think, Paul, how do you do it? And he's saying, it wasn't anything special about me. It's the life of the risen Christ at work through me. And guys, by faith, you this morning are short-roped, are tethered to that same Jesus. This is the burden-releasing grace that we need in our suffering. Jesus isn't waiting for you to get out of your chains to love you. He occupies those chains with you. Christ isn't a fair-weather fan. He doesn't look at you and your suffering and think, oh my gosh, why did I ever get involved with them? He doesn't think you're a failure. No, in the places that are hard, that hurt, that don't seem to make sense, the places that maybe have us in church this morning holding back tears, he's filled with tender affection for you. He's the God who on the cross was bound so that he could be tied to you in your suffering. And if God used the murder of his son to save the world, if he used the imprisonment of Paul to reach Caesar's house, then he can certainly use our chains, however painful they might be, to move his gospel forward. And so because even in our suffering, we're short roped to Jesus, guys, this means we have a new connection that gives us a new confidence. We don't have to see our stuck places as a sign that God can't use us. Now, this is how Paul, after the chains, after the rivals, can say in verse 18, "What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." It wasn't because that Paul was, he was just okay with being falsely accused, sitting in jail, not knowing what comes next. It's because as he looked at his chains, he remembered who he's really tethered to. And that freed him. It freed him to trust that even in this hard, confusing place, God's still moving the gospel forward. And in our difficulties, in the places where we feel sidelined, the things that don't make sense, when we see the one that we're tethered to, it frees us to start to say, "God, this is so hard, but I trust you. I don't understand why this is happening, but because I'm in Christ, then even here, I trust you haven't hit the pause button on your mission." This trust, it isn't something that we just kind of manufacture on our own. It's something that we draw on from our union with Christ. See, now when we're down kind of there in the bottom, in the dip of life, we know we're not being punished. Because we're in Christ, our suffering isn't a sign that God's mad at us. And knowing that allows us to stay in the process. And Jesus, who on the cross perfectly trusted his Father's plan, he's now put his Spirit inside of you. He's now empowering you to start trusting that God can use the hard and confusing moments in our lives to move the gospel forward. Slowly, the Spirit of Jesus starts to change our prayers from just being, "God, get me out of these chains," to also, "God, how can you use these chains to move your grace into someone around me?" I mean, just think about what that could look like tomorrow morning. You know, maybe you've got a boss who's making your life miserable. I have been there plenty of times before. And instead of falling into bitterness or quiet quitting, you can start looking at your office with gospel curiosity. You can lean into that short rope connecting you to Christ. You start looking for how maybe your integrity in a hard situation could spark a conversation with a coworker who's probably struggling with that person just as much as you are. Or maybe you're caring for an aging parent who doesn't remember your name. It's hard, unseen, exhausting work. You can feel sidelined. But in Christ, you have the promise that you aren't stuck. You remember that Jesus loves us in our weakness, and now you get to love someone in theirs. It's costly, but your living room starts to become the place where the gospel is moving forward. See, guys, our hearts will tell us that because we're down in the dip, God can't use us. But Paul, he sits in a Roman jail and tells us stuck isn't stopped. If you're in Christ, then even your chains, even in there, in those places, you're tethered to Jesus, who in his lowest moment, death on a Roman cross, that was the moment the gospel started surging forward. So when we walk out of those doors today, back to the hardships, back to the difficulties, back to the situations we would have never chosen, we get to lean onto that rope. We get to feel how secure it is. We get to say, I'm in chains in Christ. That he has tied himself to me, and he'll never undo that knot. He's not waiting for you to get out of your chains to love you and work through you. And so we can follow this guide wherever he'll take us. Amen. Amen.